So this is going to be a podcast on...
expressing opinions about potfic, like discussion of potfic. Right, so I'm Greedy Dancer. I've been potficking for almost 2 years now. And I come to this discussion from the point of view of someone who wants to get concrete on her potfic and who is interested in, you know, discussion and always kind of trying ways to improve my editing and my performances. So that's why I'm interested in this topic. What about you guys?
All right, I'm Petika, and I have been podficking for just over 4 years. I've been in podfic fandom longer than that, though. I discovered in, like, 2006, 2007, but I've mostly lurked. I'm coming into this discussion as someone who would like to have more discussions about how we podfic and getting feedback about how we podfic. For those of us that would like to change how we podfic, improve on it, try new things. I originally started in fandom as a vidder, and the constructive criticism in that side, that part of fandom, just helped me so much. It was amazing. And I've always kind of wished that I could have some of that from podfic fandom. So I'm hoping that we can get some of that. Danielle?
Hi, I'm Danielle. I think I've been creating podfic for about 2 months now. Yeah, I think my first date was August 17th. I don't know. I guess I'm coming from a view of kind of like a baby learning to talk, where you feel okay making mistakes and things not making sense because you don't know what's right and wrong yet, and everybody's like, oh, you're so cute. We'll teach you.
Podfic fandom is awesome like that.
We will take you.
I will say, though, that fandom in general is pretty good about that. There are the people that are kind of snobby, and but they are pretty good at ignoring the people that they don't enjoy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of room in fandom for it's like, no, I'm going to write my horrible stuff and post it to fanfiction.net, and you get the crappy reviews, but you also get the good reviews, and you can grow and learn from that and move on. So fandom's good about that.
Well, you know, we all started, I think... we all start with stuff that years later we look at and go, oh, Jesus, what was I thinking?
I definitely can't listen to my early podfics anymore.
Why not?
Mostly for technical reasons.
Mm.
I don't, like, my sound setup wasn't as good.
I know.
My editing wasn't as smooth.
Yeah. Like, I wish I could take those and clean them up, but I can't because my mic was so bad. There's no way.
I probably could do some cleaning up of mine, and I think about it occasionally, and then I'm like, too much work.
Yeah, and also it's like, as much as I would love to have perfect stuff out there all the time, which, you know, is completely unrealistic, but it's also like, this is my history. I don't want to retcon it.
I was having a discussion with my roommates about fandom, and, like, my roommate was saying that she... really appreciated that there's, like, you know, like, the BNF authors out there, and she was using Astolat as an example.
Mm-hmm.
So she's written, like, she's a New York Times best-selling author now, but she still has, like, her crappy, I think it was Star Trek fic that was her first fic ever. You can go back and see someone who's really, really good and see their early stuff, which is not good, but might be at your level, and you can see their progression and be like, if I keep at this, I can become that good.
Yeah.
And so that's also why I would never probably retcon my history. And if I did, I would always leave both options open, where here's the original crappy version, here's my, like, remastered version. Because I like having that history there. Of, like, you can see an improvement.
Yeah.
And that's also partly why I would like for us to be able to have further discussions on these things, because I don't want my skills to be a straight horizontal line. I would like to have an incline to show, like, me progressing and getting better. Maybe, because we're kind of beating around the bush at the moment about what we want to talk about, how about we start with people's impressions of how podfic fandom is now?
Right. As a community, we feel like we have to put out the word that we're super accepting and that everything is fine. even though it might not be our personal preference when we listen.
I think that's something that kind of gets lost. And you were talking about how it's kind of, when we were emailing and on Twitter, you're kind of like, it's like fandoms talking out of both sides of their mouths, or Podfic fandom is,
yeah.
About, yes, everything's perfect and beautiful, but that's not actually how we feel internally. Because, like, I mean, on a personal note, I love the creativity of fandom. If you want to go and make a mixtape of cats screaming and talk about how it represents your OTP, I will probably sit there and go, that's awesome. You're amazing for doing that. A+. That does not mean that I want to listen to your cat screaming, though, or that I'm going to enjoy it on a personal level. But I love to go and make things like that. That's amazing to me. So on that level, I do honestly think, like, everyone who wants to podfic should.
Yes.
And I believe that, like, if you make something and even person enjoys it, and that one person can be you who created it, it's worth it.
Yeah. And, like, everyone who wants to podfic should, and everyone who wants to podfic in any way should do it in that way. Like, I fully believe that, and, like, I really want to emphasize that before we get into the criticism conversation. You know, it's just like, just because I don't enjoy something personally doesn't mean that I wish it didn't exist, and doesn't mean I wish the whole fandom would conform to my tastes. Like, I can totally understand that the world does not bend to my will. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's something I feel very strongly in, too. But that said, I do feel that, like, acting like every single podfic that is made is created equal in this, like, everything's beautiful, everything's perfect kind of mindset we talk about, it's, one, it's not reflecting reality.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it can be, I've seen some of the negative effects of it. Like, you get people that are, like, I've seen a lot of inter-podficker jealousies. Especially since I've talked to quite a few podfickers in person or through private email and DMs and things like that. And, like, I'll see people be like, oh, you know, podficker X, everyone loves them so much. I don't think they're all that great. Or they get way more credit than I think they're due.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's kind of a bitchy thing to say. And, I mean, I'm not saying that only podfickers do that. I know it happens in fic fandom. I'm sure it happens elsewhere in fandom. That's just kind of how these things work. But that said, I think part of the reason why those conversations can happen is because we don't necessarily get into the details of why we love or why someone can be brought to that level. Like, you know, Podfigger X, who gets all this adoration, maybe it's because they, like, do really good things with accents or character voices, or they just have a really smooth cadence, or...
Well, they produce a lot.
And a lot of them, it's they produce a lot. And some of them, they produce in a lot of fandoms. Like, Feijay is a Podficker who often gets mentioned when you're talking about the best of the best of podfic. And she's produced a lot, and she's produced a lot in many fandoms. And she does, like, acting in her real life.
Mm-hmm.
And she's British and has a very good grasp of the British accents.
Yeah.
So when she does stuff in, like, Harry Potter or Merlin, she can do some pretty convincing character voices because she'll give characters various accents. So, like, she's someone that just has a lot of skills that, when brought together, appeal to a wide amount of people.
Yeah, but it's skills.
Yeah, and there's skills, and a lot of them I'm sure she's learned outside of podfic fandom, because, like I said, I'm pretty sure she does acting outside of podfic. And, for people to, when sometimes people have jealousy over other podfickers, it might just be that the thing that people really love about them isn't something that they personally love. Like, you know, someone, using myself for an example, could be like, oh, Paddock, I get so much feedback and downloads and blah, 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 blah. I'm not saying that I do or anyone's ever said this to me, but as an example. And meanwhile, it could just be like, well, I've done a lot of American Idol. American Idol has a, or at least when I was more active there, had a crazy amount of downloads. I get like 2,000 downloads in the
first
week.
That's insane. That's insane.
Yeah, and I don't think those are true numbers because my website also counts bots and stuff like that. But like 2,000 downloads in a week where other people are like, yeah, I'm getting 50 in the first month.
Oh, yeah.
Part of it was, yeah, I don't think my numbers were as accurate, but part of it, too, is just, like, that's how that fandom was. There was only a handful of people creating Podfic, but a lot of people who listened to them. Mm. And it just got a lot of traffic. And that's not, so someone might listen to my, like, hear those numbers from me and be like, Patika, I read better than her. My Podfic's down better than hers. And, you know, there's a lot of Podfickers that are better than me. But mine just happened to be in a fandom that was, like, ripe for the picking.
Yeah.
So there's sometimes, like, weird things that can get in the way of that. Or, like, someone else can be like, I perform so well, but I'm in a fandom that, like, no one else listens mm-hmm. to. Or just, you know, things like that that have nothing to do with actual skill levels, but people end up... Because people don't talk about why someone's great, they just say they're great, it can increase jealousy among podfickers.
Yeah. Just wondering if we should move on. Do we still have more to say on the first point?
We've talked about how, like, it's just not that easy for people to come out and say things that aren't 100% positive.
Yeah.
Even saying negative things, not that people are, like, out there dumping on Podfic. If you say something that isn't 100% positive... It can be taken very weirdly.
Mm-hmm. I know once, like, I remember listening to someone's potfic, and I talked about it on Twitter. I was like, oh, my God, I'm having the best time listening to that potfic. And then I said, but I have to admit, like, this aspect of it is bothering me. And I think, like, I was on my way. I was just walking down the street while I was tweeting. And then I stopped, and I went back, and I think I deleted the tweet.
It's to the point where we're censoring ourselves.
Yeah. Because the thing is, like, that person, and because Podfic, well, like, my perception of Podfic fandom is that it's so restrained, that person, she would have known what I said. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're such a close circle that if a Podficker is saying something about your own Podfic, you're going to hear about it. Someone will, even if you're not on their Twitter list or whatever, which these days, you know, like, a lot of us are on each other's Twitter lists. But you're going to hear about it by, you know, from someone.
You guys have trouble because if you say anything negative, you feel like people will get offended. But I don't know. I've never – well, one, nobody ever comments on anything I do, so that doesn't happen. But I feel like sometimes it's just saying something the right way instead of mm-hmm. making it sound angry.
Yeah. I think there's a tone issue that we'll discuss later, definitely.
It's just a matter of, like – we've seen some people be pretty sensitive about it.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of a handful, like, many podfickers that have just been really sensitive that when you become aware of that, it's suddenly you're tiptoeing around everything.
Yeah.
And even if someone is open to hearing these things, you're just not trusting of it. Like, and everyone's so nice that we don't want to hurt people. We don't want to do it accidentally. We certainly don't want to do it on purpose. So we end up being quiet instead. And I think that can sometimes stagnate a fandom when we're not willing or able to talk about, you know, things that are possibly not going right or things that we would like to see more of that maybe just doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Not even saying that what's happening now is bad, but just like maybe we could try something new and you feel like you can't say that can be bad for a fandom. Yeah. I was going to say, and I don't think Podfic fandom's quite there yet. There's a couple people that just go and do their thing and get it done. And then there's other people that run comms to make it happen. There's at least three of us that do that. So it means that things can be a little more widespread when a comm is run, but it can be a weird thing that, like, oh, you have to have a comm before you can feel comfortable doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other thing I wanted to say, like, about how welcoming and positive and encouraging Podfic fandom is now is that I feel like there's a lot of new people who come in and they, like, if you just look at the questions that are asked on, you know, potfic tips, I think, like, every other week there's someone who's like, I want a potfic, but I'm not good enough, or I don't have the right accent, or I don't have the right stuff, like the right equipment. And so we want to encourage people, and we don't want to, you know, so encouraging them is saying, whatever you do, someone will love it, and everything, you know, everything is valid and everything is great, which is clearly awesome. But when you start pretending that everyone loves everything, that's when it gets, I think, that's when it gets hypocritical.
Yeah, and a jumping off point to what you just said, part of the problem with coming out with, oh, someone's going to love it no matter what, like, that's not a good enough answer for some people. I know you said you don't find that personally satisfying because you want more than one person to like it.
Yeah.
But it's also not satisfying for some people because some people, like, there's a lot of perfectionists in fandom.
Yes.
And being like, oh, don't worry, people will like it no matter what, isn't good enough. They're like, no, I want to be good at it.
Yeah.
And they're not able to get good at it without practice. And
criticism.
So the end result for some people is going to be that they just never try because they can't get it what they want. Mm-hmm. Whereas I've seen in, say, Vinning fandom, there have been people that are like, okay, no, I really like this, and I'm going to spend, like, 6 months intensively reading every tutorial, doing, like, some, like, interactive tutorials and, like, figure out the technicalities of this, read about, like, various art forms from it, and then at the end of that, they'll have made a vid that, you know, nothing's ever perfect, but generally it's something that they can be proud of even years later once they've continued improving. They didn't put out their first, like, slapdash. Like, me, I'm the type of person that's willing to do my trial and error in public. And so you get some of my really crappy stuff out there that's just still sitting out there because I'm willing to put it out there and I'm willing to look bad in public. But other people are not willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think that right now Podfic fandom is giving them the tools that they can use to get to a point where they feel they can create.
Yeah. That's where the idea of having to know the right people comes in, which can reinforce this idea that, you know, you have to know the right people. And because we do that stuff in private, like the mentoring each other or giving each other tips or, you know, critiquing each other's stuff, it happens. But it happens with either your beta, if you have a good one, and I have a great one, and I'm really grateful for the actual criticism that I get from her. And the other thing is, you have people who come and ask you, like, can you explain to me how you do this? But it's always a one-on-one kind of thing. So
yeah.
if the new potfickers, or even if the people who've been potficking or whatever, don't want to go and ask someone they admire, or don't want to go and ask, you know, the person whose name they recognize, how do you do this thing that I love in your potfic? How do you do it? How can I do it myself? Like, if you don't have the courage or the time or the whatever, it's not going to happen.
Another part of that is because these conversations aren't happening in public, we don't have a shared language to discuss these things. Because you need a shared language. There's a lot of technical stuff in podfic and in acting, and we don't have terms for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can talk about, like, you know, the names of the filters that you use in Audacity or whatever, but that's not, like, sometimes when you're talking about, like, stylistic choices,
yeah,
you're not able, like, you can just be like, the thing that you did with the wavy arms and the blah that made me go, wee! Like, that's not helpful. Like, it's great if you're the creator and you have someone making wavy, squeeing arms at you, but, yeah, like, a lot of the wrecks or whatever that you see for podfic don't delve into, like, the actual language that we can use to discuss what made it great or not, just because we don't have it.
Yeah.
And I think if we had more public beta-type situations or criticism or whatever, we might begin to develop that vocabulary that we need.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous, but vocabulary can mean so much. Like, when I was a vidder, I signed up for a critical feedback exchange. And that just friggin' blew my mind because there was a bunch of things that were said in there that were very useful for me to learn from. But one of the things that, like, blew my mind the most was the person's like, so at this point in the vid, you suddenly switched points of view. This is a point of view vid from character X. Why is it suddenly with character Y? And it had never occurred to me that that my vids were point of view vids for a specific character, even though all of them were. And so even just having that little bit of vocabulary that, and I knew what point of view was, but I had never thought to apply it to my own vids, that just even having that definition, that structure of that term applied to what I did, made so much difference going forward. I can't even tell you. My mind was blown. And that's something really simple.
Yeah.
That I just don't know. Like, I wish that we could have more of that for Podfic fandom.
Yeah. Okay, so then do we want to talk about the reasons we think why the situation is what it is?
Okay, so as someone here who's been in Podfic fandom for a while, as I mentioned earlier, podfickers have long memories, and I'm certainly guilty of that. And a lot of the times when situation comes up, I always try and think of, like, the history behind that reaction. And so this history lesson covers kind of 2009, 2010. Because at the end of 2009, Podbang, the very first Podbang ran. It was pretty influential because Podbang was a gift exchange where you recorded Big Bang length fics. And there hadn't been as many long podfics made before that happened. And there were some people that, like, that was their starting point in podfic fandom. It was certainly the point that I started creating a lot because it was like, well, I made two Big Bang-length podfics. I can do anything now.
Yeah.
And I started making a lot. But one of the notable things about it is that at the end of Podbang, I almost called it PodAware. At the end of Podbay, the mods were like, hey, how about you talk about your process? And a bunch of people took them up on it. And they just started talking about, like, this is how I made my podfic. And it was pretty basic meta. But it was, like, one of the first... It was the first time I had seen that much public meta in a single place. Mm-hmm. It may have happened before then that I hadn't seen. But at that point in time, Podfic fandom was centralizing a lot around Amplificathon, kind of like it is now. I think more so back then than now, actually. And it was just suddenly all these people were seeing things that they hadn't seen before. And it inspired me enough that I was like, okay, I'm going to join Podfic fandom and run a challenge, which is, in hindsight, is not that surprising, but... I wasn't nearly so active back then. And I ran the critical feedback exchange because, like I said, I had that experience in vidding where I signed up for a critical feedback exchange and it was mind-blowingly positive for me. Even though, like, I'm not going to deny that some of the things that get said in those, like, I've gotten critical feedback on vids that, like, hurt and made me sad. But and sometimes it made me stop vidding for a while. But then I would, like, think about it more, and I would take what was said to heart, and I'd move on. And I kind of was hoping that I could get a similar positive learning experience by running one for Podfic. And so I set sign-ups up, a bunch of people signed up, and it happened. Between the time I made the announcement and people started posting, Zvi opened Podfic Meta. Mm-hmm. Which is a con that was designed for anyone to talk about Podfic and its meta. You could be a listener, you could be a creator. There weren't any restrictions. And a lot of the early posts of Podfic Meta were, in fact, the reviews done of Podfics for the Critical Feedback Exchange. So a lot of those were posted there as the early posts. And there were some other posts that were made there about some kind of controversial topics, like whether music should be included, instructive failures, stuff like that that could be a little touchy. I think part of it is that because people hadn't really been talking about Podfic before, Podfic seemed a much more solitary thing. You created it on your own, you released it into the wild, and maybe you got some comments, maybe you didn't. You just kept making it because you liked it. And this was suddenly a chance for all those listeners who had been storing up opinions, some of them for years, to be like, yes, I can talk about them. And there was kind of like feeling vomit of all these people being like, no, that, like, one of the topics was like, what information should you include in the header of your podfic? Like, your introduction of, like, should you just say the title and go right into the story? Should you put warnings and pairings and fandom or summaries? Like, it was a huge debate. And people had very strong opinions that were completely based on what they preferred to listen to most, which is how most of these things go down. But yeah, there were very passionate people and no consensus. A lot of podficers were like, what do I do? And that was happening with a lot of the topics of like, what do I do? People, like, I do this and some people don't like it and other people do. When I completed the, like, when the feedback exchange rolled up, there was a lot of people that dropped out. Like, every podfic was supposed to have two reviews. In the end, most of them only had one because I just couldn't find pinch hitters for enough of them. And a lot of people struggled so hard to write a review, where they were just like, I don't want to be mean, I feel this, and I realize it's super subjective. And most people were acknowledging, like, these are super subjective feelings that I have. I don't know if it's actually constructive to tell them this. And so a lot of people just, like, failed out. And I know, like, some of the people that did get some of the, like, longer-term feedback was like, yeah, I was kind of hurt by what had been said. Aww. Or, oh, I thought I could handle it, maybe I couldn't. So I've never run it again.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, maybe I'll bring it back one day, but it's not, people just weren't ready for it at the time. Yeah. They didn't know what to say and they didn't know how to take what was said to them. That said, I did learn from it and I did actually change some of the things that I podfic because of it. So I got stuff out of it, but you know, I just didn't think there'd be enough interest to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I for one would be interested. So I'm just putting that out there. Yeah, I think maybe we can like see right from that to the reasons why, like the very legitimate reasons why we've all probably already been hurt by stuff that's been said about our podfic, because I think criticism is in a way harder to take in podfic than in other mediums. Basically, I had three main areas that I outlined of why criticism in podfic is so, like, different and can hurt so much. And the first one is because, like, there's something about the medium itself that is very much about, or in part, at least, about our bodies. And I think some of the meta that Penny Plain Knits and Ginger wrote about this. We can maybe give the links if people are not familiar with that. Really do a good job of explaining why when you criticize potfic, it can be taken or it can be meant or taken as criticism of your voice or your accent or your breathing. And these things are very much like part of yourself.
Not only your body, but sometimes your identity too.
Yeah.
Like, accent for me is part of my identity because it's part of my nationality. It's part of my upbringing. Like, it's body and self.
Yeah.
Because it's your voice out
and
there.
And it's in a much, much more intimate way, in a way, than if you're writing. You can just send your fic and get it, like, bid-ad and Brit-picked or whatever the equivalent of Brit-picking is for other, you know, languages. And then you can change, in a way, the identity of your text. In a way, you can't really change the identity of your voice.
It's a little bit like, you know, you're putting out ideas in a story that are often heavily influenced by you when you're a writer, but it's not generally exactly you.
Yeah.
And it would kind of be like putting a story out there that's a beautiful story and then having people complain about your handwriting.
Exactly, yeah.
Because that like, handwriting is a part of you a bit more, like our voices are. But that's something that's removed by the internet,
mm-hmm.
unless you're getting, you know, thick mail to you, which some people do, but most of us don't. We're reading it typed up online.
Totally. And I remember I got one comment once on a podfic that was about, or actually I can think of two examples for that. The first one was someone who said, you know, one of those backhanded compliments that was, at first, I didn't like your voice, and then I got used to it, and now I love it. And so the end result of that was, I loved your voice, but she still said, at first I didn't like it. And that kind of offended me a little bit, I have to say.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, like, people who, and this is a, like, I understand this is a totally personal issue, but people who say, like, as their main comment on my potfic, your accent is adorable. It's like, yeah, but that's not what I want you to notice, because I don't actually like it that much, and I wish I didn't have it. So when you say, the reason I love your potfic is because I love your accent, and I'm like, oh, no, I failed.
I think that's something that happens a lot in podfic in general, where it's like, that's not a bad comment, but it's not really the comment that, that's not really what I was going for. That's not really the comment that I want,
mm-hmm.
which I hear, like, probably the most common way that that comes up is people will be like, listen to this podfic, this story is awesome, the story building, the writing,
yeah.
and they're talking about the writing. And, I mean, I don't think it's reasonable to try and be like, no, don't talk about the story, because what's your podfic without the story? You can mm-hmm. be an amazing reader, but honestly, if you're reading the phone book, most people won't listen. And reverse, you could be a subjectively bad reader, and somewhat, like, there are some readers that, you know, I don't really love their style, but I love the story that they read,
mm-hmm.
and I'll listen to it.
Yeah,
even though sometimes this awesome reader read a story that I just don't love, I might listen to the one that subjectively I don't like as much more. So, like, it's kind of weird how those things go. And you can't really control what it is that your audience responds to.
No.
But I think part of that rolls into the next point that you have about the small amount of feedback we get.
Yeah, totally. Wow, we're getting really smooth. Yeah, and like the second thing that I thought about was that there's so little feedback. Like we work for so long, like we put so much effort into it, and we put the podfic out, and then you might get like a couple of comments. Most of them are going to be like, yay, I downloaded this, and then you might not hear from them again. Or, you know, you might get, like, a couple of comments. But, like, if the small amount of feedback that you get is, on top of that, critical, it would be harder to take than, you know, if you write fic and you get 50 comments and one of them mentions something like, I didn't really understand the ending or whatever. It's fine because 51 or, like, 95 people told you they loved it. If you get 3 comments on your potfic and 2 are like, yay, I downloaded, and the 3rd is like, yay, I downloaded, I listened, and this is what I didn't like, you might not feel that great about it.
Yeah. Talking about the small amount of feedback that we get, whenever I talk to non-podficers, I'm always like, so I have a pretty solid commenter base, or at least I did when I was in American Idol. I regularly get about 5 comments per mm-hmm. podfic, and that's a solid number of comments.
Yeah.
And for the 2,000 downloads I would get 5 comments. And, yeah, probably about 3 of them were like, downloading, yay! So people are showing an interest in what we do, but they're not necessarily giving us feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, you know, a topic for the feedback podcast.
Yeah.
But it's something that's definitely out there, and it's true. Percentage-wise, one negative comment has a lot more weight.
Exactly.
It can be disheartening when it's like, so, a 3rd of all my feedback says get better. And that's not really what it is that I'm trying to push for. The end result that I would like from this, like, pie in the sky, even that, like, that's not what I want. I don't want people to be like, so I think your podfic would be better if you do XXX.
Oh, definitely not.
Like, that's not what I want. I just want people to be able to get that if they want it, and for there to be ways for people to talk about podfic that isn't 100% positive without being crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of it.
Yeah.
That we just don't get very much.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard for people to comment on things. One, because if you're listening to something, you can kind of do that anywhere. Like, you can be outside, or you can be at the gym, or you can be going to sleep, and then you listen to it, and then, I mean, I know I don't have a smartphone, so you have to go back to the internet and then find wherever you downloaded it and then give feedback, whereas if you're reading fan fiction, you finish the fic, and then the comment box is right there for you. So mm-hmm. it's easier that way. And then sometimes people also don't know what they do or don't like about it, because I know I've listened to things and I couldn't make it through the whole story because of the voice, and then sometimes I've listened for the voice, which kind of is weird, and it would be weird to get comments that are like, I like your voice, but for some people that's why they listened. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is true, and it's honestly, that's one of the reasons I love Kudos so much on AO3. Is because, one, I'm shit at responding to feedback, so kudos, I don't need to. But two, it's a way for people to say, yay, I liked it, without having to be articulate. And, you know, they could just be kudosing automatically of, like, download it, I'm excited. I don't need to know that. I can pretend that they liked it or not, and, like, that they actually listened to it first.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds a little contradictive to the point I'm making.
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's okay.
It is true. Like, I recently got an iPod Touch. I haven't quite moved on to a smartphone yet, but suddenly I'm reading fic in places that I never used to. Mm-hmm. I've been, like, I used to always just listen at work, so all of my stuff was on my work computer, and so it was super easy for me to, like, keep track of what I was listening to. But now it's not, because I will listen when I'm grocery shopping. Or when I'm, like, driving to school. So it's harder to keep tabs on it. And that's definitely a part of it. I know that was a big problem with vids, too.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a vidder, although now with YouTube, that's not so big of a deal. And other streaming sites. But yeah, when I started vidding, there was no YouTube. That
wow.
makes me feel old. YouTube's not that old, but wow.
Yeah. Just to conclude on that, like, topic, I think the last thing that I had outlined, and then you had one, Lindsay, was that, well, there's this context that we already talked about a little bit of indifference or sometimes hostility towards potfic from the outside, and therefore, from, like, within the community, we try to be super positive because we already know that people out there don't understand or don't like what we do or want us to do it differently. And so if on top of that kind of feeling of, you know, people don't understand us, you have people from the inside starting to be more critical or more negative or not always positive about your stuff, I think you might take it a little harder. And the other thing is, because this community is tight-knit, or what I understand as what I perceive of that community is quite tight-knit. And Lindsay, you said it's easy for people to start admiring some potfickers. And if that potficker that you admire says something critical about your stuff, you might feel really discouraged.
Or you might feel that you have to take it at face value. Like, that mm-hmm. was something else. I was talking with Akemi-chan? Or
yeah.
Akamine? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm not super into her side of fandom, but she's a BNF, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she writes, she definitely writes a lot, and
yeah.
lots of good
she
stuff.
She seems to be really well-respected, and she's yeah. been super nice when I've talked to her.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, so she's well-regarded, but when she wrote her first piece, she sent it to someone she considered BNF to beta it, and they were like, no, this is shitty. And she almost stopped writing right then mm-hmm. because of it. And, like, so many fans of hers would, like, cry and wail at the idea of her never writing anything. But she felt that, like, oh, well, this person's so awesome, they must be right. And yeah. it took her a while to realize, oh, just because they're BNF doesn't mean they're always right. Someone who you really admire, your favorite pod figure, comes over and they're like, oh, hey, you're doing this wrong. You might think that, oh, well, they're so awesome and great. They must know what they're talking about. Clearly, I'm doing it wrong. Even if, you know, it's what you're doing is perfectly legitimate, or it's just something different from what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make one right or wrong.
Definitely.
But I kind of feel like art, because we don't talk about this, it's easier to make those assumptions. There's always the thing of, like, if something's kind of awkward to say, the only people that say it are the assholes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if something's not the easiest things to say, a lot of people will be like, I'm just going to avoid this altogether.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then you'll get the people that are like, no, I don't care. I'm going to say it. This sucks. So then if you're out there looking for validation for what you're doing and all you come across is the jerk that's like, no, this sucks, that's not going to be helpful. Even if you're not saying this is bad, if you could be like, this is what I don't like about it, but it's still a legitimate thing, or vice versa, or whatever, you might be able to take, someone can leave an opinion and you can find validation of the opposite if there's actual discussions about
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
Instead of just the assholes or the jerks or the people that don't care, who aren't necessarily assholes or jerks, who are just like, this is how I feel and I'm going to speak like it's an absolute, and that's the only thing you can find when you look it up.
Linked to this idea of potfic being kind of new compared to, you know, written fiction or even vidding, is that we get new people who want to try it all the time, and it can be intimidating, and it can be, you know, just, again, seeing how many people are worried about having an accent or not having a right accent, or they feel like they don't have an accent so that it's not interesting or whatever.
Or another really common one, my voice is too girly.
Yeah, or my mic is not good enough, or, you know, whatever. And if
I always feel like I just want to reach through the internet and hug all the people that have voice insecurities, or it's like the accent people, the people that are like, oh, I sound too girly, or my voice is just ugly. And I was just mm-hmm. like, no, you have a beautiful voice. Group hug.
Yeah. But so if these people feel like the first thing that they post is going to get ripped apart, it might not, like, I totally understand the point of being as positive and welcoming as possible. I just think there's a way of giving, you know, opinions, and there's a way of talking about it that doesn't have to be mean and ripping stuff apart and discouraging.
Yeah.
Mm.
So the last point that I wanted to bring up about why I think it can be hard to get criticism is that they're just, we're getting to a point where there's more and more podfic every day. And I know some people have been like flailing. I've been one of them who's like, I can't actually keep up with all the podfic that's being posted. What is this phenomena? But that really depends on which fandom you're in, for one
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
And whether you're willing to listen outside of, like, if you're multi-fanish, you're fine. If all you want to listen to is Terminator podfic, that's not fine. You're going to not have very much podfic to listen to. And because of that, if you do have someone that comes in and is creating podfic, and then suddenly someone gives them some criticism, and it has a chilling effect on them, which I fully admit, criticism has that effect. It's happened to me, even though sometimes I've asked for it, and I personally advocate for having constructive criticism. I know that sometimes I've been like, okay, I need to think about this for a bit. I'm just not going to create for a while. And, you know, without me creating American Idol podfic, there's no one creating American Idol podfic that much, really. There's a couple people that I've managed to drag in that throw some out there. But, you know, mostly it was the majority of podfic in American Idol fandom is made by Diane McKay, who suddenly left, and by me and KLB. And I was the last one holding out, still making podfic. And I still have some that I'm going to make, but that's getting distracted. So if someone came along and said something, say, to Diane McKay, who put out a huge amount of podfic, that made her feel insecure and made her stop podficking, even if it was temporarily, there's a lot of people that are like, no, that was like half my podfic listening has just dried up because this person isn't creating anymore. And that has a chilling effect where, like, their fan, they're going to be like, shut up, don't say anything, because you're being mean and you're taking away something that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a legitimate reaction, but it's also, yeah, it's whatever. And then you've also got the people that, like, they might even be asking for criticism, but it still has that effect, and their fans are still going to be like, don't do it, because we don't want this pause to happen. And there's, it doesn't help that, like, there's the hardcore Podfic listeners, and there's the casual Podfic listeners. There's the people that listen to Podfic, like, every day, or every week, or all the time, and they always want more, more, more. And then there's the people that are like, if it's good, I'll listen to it. But it's not, like, part of their routine to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I'll save this for when I'm on a road trip. I listen to 8 hours a year. And then there's other people that I listen to 8 hours a day. So those people have very different needs. And they're going to, they can have, the two different groups can afford to have different standards. If you're someone who listens to 8 hours of Podfic a day, which I used to be one of those people, I would listen all day at work. Not quite 8 hours, but I could listen to at least 6 hours a day.
Wow.
You go through a lot of Podfic, and there's some that it's like, I don't love this, but I like it enough that I will listen to it 10 times. Like, I just didn't have enough Podfic. Like, I don't think there's, yeah, like, there's some Podfics that I've listened to dozens of times, even though I don't love it that much, just because it was there.
Yeah.
And whereas the people that, like, you will only listen to, like, 8 hours a year, they can be like, this was amazing. It's high quality. That's all. That's the quality that I want to listen to all the time. And so they're going to have very different needs. And the people that would maybe want to encourage that higher quality, because that's, and quality is so subjective.
It is. It really is.
Qualify that, because, like, it can be, so many things go into it that one person's like, this is all that is perfect, can be someone else's, I didn't really like it, and vice versa. So putting that out there, but, like, someone who has really particular, instead of high standards, particular standards, they might try and advocate for more people to fit their standards, whereas the person who's like, I just want more, I don't care what, is going to want to silence them, because their opinions, whether legitimate or not, are getting in, could possibly get in the way of their listening. And so I think that's just something that should be acknowledged and put out there, that there are, like, because of the relative scarcity, like, Podfic fandom still, I think, runs on a scarcity model. And when scarcities trump, quantity can often be quality for various definitions of quality.
Yes.
Because, like, I fully admit that trying to say what makes a good Podfic is hugely subjective. But.
Yeah.
So that was my last point on reasons why it might be hard. Do you have any thoughts, Danielle? Or maybe not even on the levels that we were talking about, but just on a personal level. Would you find it hard to receive critical comments, and would you?
I don't think so, because I mean, I'm pretty good at sifting through the comments that are heartfelt and the comments that are just like, I hated this, because I had a beta, and this was for a fanfic I wrote, and she was an English major doing her dissertation, and she took my fanfic and she ripped it apart.
Oh God.
And it was, but it was good though, because, I mean, she was like, I like these things, but these things just don't make canon sense. And I know you love them and I really want to love them, but I know that this just isn't realistic. And I was like, no, but this, it's so beautiful. And she's just like, look, girl, it's not going to work. You got to find a way to make it work if you want it to be in there. But it was better in the end. I mean, I sat and I cried forever and then I got over it. I was like, okay, if I still want this to happen, how can I make it happen and then make it believable? Which is now how I fill plot holes in my fan. Fix. I'm like, okay, this isn't gonna work, so I need a character to say this isn't gonna work and then have someone else say why it will. So I feel like if people can actually get real constructive criticism, we can be okay, but some people just aren't ready for that because it's just too close. It's like, I feel like you're criticizing me and not what I made.
Yeah.
And I would like to put this out there. It is 1,000,000% okay to just be like, I'm making this, and I don't care what you think. I'm just making it for fun, and I don't want criticism. That is a legitimate way to move through fandom. A lot of people do. It's supposed to be fun, and for some people, criticism will never be fun, and they just don't want it. And that's okay. My problem is when stuff's the people that do want that kind of criticism, that kind of a positive situation that you had, that even though you cried over it, like, I don't like it when other people's hesitance gets in the way of what I would like.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, constructive criticism is far more accepted in fanfic than it is in podfic. But you still don't see a hell of a lot of it.
No, yeah. I feel like it's etiquette to not give unsolicited concrete. So yeah. It's like, if someone, you know, and sometimes I've said this before to other people, like, you can see, I'm thinking of a specific example, but whatever, people who, for example, post in Big Bang challenges, and they clearly, like, they put so much work into their, like, they wrote, like, 30,000 words, and it could be good, but there's one thing that basically, you know, everyone agrees is not working, it's putting it into the realm of bad fic in a way. And those stories get posted, and then no one comments. Like, silence, utter silence. And I'm just like, this person clearly put so much work into that, and she's not getting anything back, and she might not know why. Because no one is going to tell her, listen, the reason no one is reading your stuff is because it's a Mary Sue, and this community looks down on Mary Sues. Or,
and if you would like to create that way, here's some circles that will embrace it more, because they do exist. But
that's the thing, it's like, I always kind of feel bad for those stories, because everyone kind of passes the link and goes, hey, look at that, that just was posted. So everyone is discussing it in private, and no one is actually telling the person, listen, thank you for contributing. I think if you want to stay in this community, you might find you get more feedback if, you know, you do this a little bit differently.
And I think that's one of the fears, like, that kind of moves into the prescriptiveness of fandom.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, talking to podficers, there's a lot of people that fear prescriptiveness in podfic fandom, because they're like, no, we should be free as the wind. Everything is totally acceptable, and everything should be welcome. And if we start talking about what makes things good versus what makes things bad, even if we put disclaimers all over about how subjective it is, we're going to end up with a prescriptivist.
Yeah. Because
in fandom,
that means, because as soon as you start talking about what makes things good, you imply there are things that are bad.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, I mean, the community already thinks that. We just don't say it.
And that's a really important point to talk about. Like, you know, that those stories that it, like I was saying, like you were saying, if you want to be popular in this community, these are the standards that we appreciate the most. And my response wouldn't necessarily be start creating those things. It might be like,
I'm
moving. Here's some communities that will probably appreciate your work more than we do. Because writing Mary Sue's, writing, you know, over the top, whatever, they're appreciated,
mm-hmm.
just maybe not in this location. And putting yourself out there where people are going to be, like, talking behind their hands about, like, oh, my God, did you see that fic? Like, ugh, who writes Mpreg? Or, like, whatever. I personally love Mpreg.
Me too.
So it gets beat on a lot.
It really does.
Come to Bandom, you guys. Bandom has everything.
Like, to say that we don't want these things because prescriptivism will step in is just kind of blind to how the community is.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, and I think podfic fandom has done a pretty good job of getting people to make things that aren't necessarily popular, which can make it appear like it's less prescriptive. Like, Amplificathon does amazing things to get things made that would never have been made otherwise. And part of the reason why they never would have been made otherwise is because they're just not popular.
Yeah, like the
obscure pairing
crossover thing.
And it's not because they're bad. I'm really not saying they're bad. They're just not popular.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I know I've made a bunch of podfics that, yeah, like, I go and make them for Amplificathon because, oh my god, the points! But it also kind of gets to a point where sometimes I'll look at it and I'll be like, okay, so I made this obscure crossover thing for Amplificathon so I could get 5 more points, and it got 20 downloads. Whereas if I had just made this American Idol one that I probably would have preferred making, it would have gotten 2,000 downloads. So it's a weird thing that you have people making things and being lauded for making things that aren't popular.
Yeah.
But that's still its own kind of prescriptivism, that we're just pretending that because it's like a hipster prescriptivism. And we've been doing this for years, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's still a kind of prescriptivism.
Yeah.
And like, I'm going to use a couple examples of, I do a lot of, I seek out conversations about Podfic outside of Podfic fandom. As a lot of people know, I run the Podfic Twitter account, and I retweet basically anyone who says something public about Podfic on Twitter. If they use certain keywords, it comes up on an RSS feed, and I sift through them and retweet the happy ones. But there's a lot that I don't retweet that are not happy or not really, like, because they don't fit with the feel that account is trying to put out there. And a lot of things that I see coming up fairly often is people talking about, like, about how they don't like Podfic, and here's why, and this is what I would need to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that they say they would need to enjoy it are things that I've seen the Podfic fandom actively campaign against.
Like what?
I don't want to say voices, it's even a bit beyond voices. It's like sounding more like the canon characters. Which, I mean, that's not even something realistically most of us could do, because, let's face it, most Podfic out there is Slash, and most of us are never going to sound like guys.
Mm-hmm.
But they do, like, there are people that want more, like, matching accents, and not just accents, like, they want impersonations of the canon characters. They want radio plays. Radio plays get asked for a lot, and just things like that that are, like, high production value Podfics. And that's why the more people really stood out to me when I was talking about the chilling effect of some criticism is, like, if we were to suddenly start producing radio plays, there's such high production value to that we would not be making near as many. Like, the productivity of Podfic fandom would, like, take a nosedive because so much work that goes into that. But because so many people kind of, like, flail at the idea of that amount of work, there's been, like, some, not straight-out negativity, but, like, kind of some idea of, like, that's not Podfic, it doesn't belong here. And even though there have been some people that have done it, and it works, but it's not really something that is pushed for in the side of Podfic fandom. And that's something that people out there are looking for. And I've seen a couple groups of people spontaneously invent Podfic. Like, that doesn't sound right. But, like, they go and create their own Podfic fandom separate from our Podfic fandom because they don't even know our Podfic fandom exists. They'll just, like, there might be someone who, they'll, like, have a discussion being like, wouldn't it be cool if we had an audiobook of this? And they'll get in a big discussion, and then someone will be like, yeah, I think I've heard of this. It's called Podfic. And they'll be like, and by the time they realize that something else exists out there for it, they already have their own thing going. And it can be something completely different from what we have. And a lot of the times that I've seen, like, these spontaneous things happen, they're like, let's do a radio play. And mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever listened or even seen finished products from these, so maybe the production value was too high and they never finished, or maybe I just don't check back enough to see that they were finished, but That's one example. Also slightly tied into the idea of radio plays. during the first pod bang that happened, I think that was when, back in 2009, that was when Cookie Mom 6067 first started podficking. And I know she's made a bunch of podfics since then, but she just, like, was one of those people that threw herself into it. And I haven't talked to her very much. I don't know her that well. But I don't think she had really listened to much podfic before she decided she was going to create some. And her idea of what podfic was, just based on its definition, was a lot closer to a radio play than what the typical podfic is. So, like, I remember when they were doing, like, the reflections on the podbang process, she was talking about, like, she ended up doing, like, a pinch hit for a fandom she had never even heard of, and it was, like, some Western fandom that she, like, mainlined the show and did a Google search and found a podfic that was hugely long, and she went and recorded it. But because it was hugely long and she took all this time researching it, she didn't have time to put into the production that she did her other Big Bang that she did. And she was like, at one point it was like, it broke my heart a little to post this without the, like, clip-clop of the horses as they were walking. And she was adding sound effects like that. And I never listened to the Western one because it wasn't my fandom, but she did one that was SGA. And it was called the Woobyverse, and it was basically curtain fic, which isn't something I feel that strongly about. But I listened to the entire, like, 7 hours of it, even though I wasn't that in love with the story, just because I was so fascinated by what she had made. Because she included sound effects in almost every scene. Actually, probably every scene. Like, and some of them worked, some of them didn't, but it was really surprising which ones did and which ones didn't. Like, at one point they were having, like, one of the, I think John or maybe Rodney, one of them, was, like, remodeling their house. And they were having a discussion. Well, like, they had, like, construction happening in the house. And so, like, she had the sound effects of, like, power equipment running in the background, like the whine of a saw. And you would think that that would be super distracting to whatever she was saying. But that was one of the scenes that worked really well. Mm. And there were some of the, I don't really remember the ones that didn't work as well. But that one really stood out to me because I'm like, this should not sound good, but it does. And I talked to her about it, like, I listened to it, like, a month or two after she had posted it, and I commented, talking about the sound effects, and saying that, like, I hope she continues to do them, because they're really interesting. And her response was, yeah, because they were received so well. And I'm pretty sure I've listened to some of her later podfics, and I don't think they had sound effects in them.
Yeah. Well, so, if you put so much work into something that people don't like, you're probably not going to do it again if people liking your stuff is what you're after.
Yeah. And so, she was probably like, well, this is so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just go and do this. Maybe it wasn't as personally fulfilling for her, but can't speak for her motivations. But to say that podfic fandom isn't prescriptive already,
yeah,
is wrong. And I'm not, like, I'm using criticism as a word just because it's easy to use that word. It's not even necessarily what I want. I just want people to be able to have rich discussions.
Yeah.
People to be able to discuss things without being like...
Yeah, I think opinions works. Like, it's not necessarily, like, critical or it's not necessarily negative. It's just being able to say, this is what I think. You know, in good or bad.
Yeah, and without people, like, wanting to like, chastise you for saying it. Or for you to, like, have the confidence to be able to state your opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And for there to, I think you might end up with more freedom if you can do it that way. If you can have this, if you can have real discussions. Because, like, one of the things KLB came out of, the critical feedback exchange and that early meta that I talked about in Podfic Meta, is her conclusion, which she talked about in last year's PodAware, was that no matter what you do, there'll be some people that think you're doing it too much, some people that think you're doing it not enough, and some people that think you're doing it perfectly. And, like, those were the conclusions that she drew, and she's like, whatever, I'm just going to do what makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great conclusion to have, but I think sometimes the other conclusion people draw from that is, why bother having the discussion then? And I don't agree with that conclusion. Even if you end up changing not a thing of how you create, I guess I'm just a fan of being informed.
Yeah.
Rather make a choice than do something and find out that I made a choice without realizing it. I would rather consciously make that choice. Because sometimes you're making a choice, you don't realize it is a choice. Like, you always have people doing ridiculous things because they think that's just how it's done. Even though what the way they're doing it is ass backwards or ridiculous in the situation. Like, not related to Podfic at all, but my roommate has a friend who, whenever she would try and cook a turkey, she'd always cut it in half. And finally, someone saw her cooking it, and they're like, why are you cutting your turkey in half? She's like, that's how you cook a turkey. And they're like, no, most people don't cut it in half. They cook it whole. And she's like, no, you always cut it in half. And it turned out her mother just had a really small stove. So she was always cutting her turkey in half, even though her stove was large enough to have a full turkey in it. That's just how you did it. And, you know, it was extra work, and it was kind of ridiculous that I would just hate for people to be doing this because they think that that's how it's done, when really maybe there's an easier or better for them way to do it that they just didn't know about. I think that's a lot we wanted to cover.
Yeah, I just don't know where to go from the turkey thing. Like, I don't know. There was a story about a turkey, and now I'm lost. I think it was some kind of metaphor. But who's the turkey? Who is the turkey?
Oh, my God. Okay. One other thing I would like to say is, just if we start having public discussions, that, you know, in their place, like, that's what Podfic Meta was created for. We can, I could run the Critical Feedback Exchange again if there's interest. Although probably not soon because I'm going insane with schoolwork. And then you can have, like, I'm not saying I want it to be ubiquitous, but I would like it to be there for those that want it.
Mm-hmm. I actually added at the end of every post that I make now, I have a line about, I welcome feedback and concrete. Like, if you don't want to do it in public, in comments, this is my email. Mm-hmm. And I've never had any, so. But, you know, like, I know there's people who would welcome it if it were available. And it's not that you suddenly have to criticize everything, but the people who do want concrete should be able to get it.
We don't want to post something and be like, and now, public, give me a beta.
Yeah. No, it's just like, I'm not asking for people to point out what I do wrong, but if you have thoughts of, like, this worked for me and this didn't really work for me, or, you know, I was surprised when you did this, or this is not how I saw this character, and this is why. And, you know, I'd be super interested in that. I just got into a discussion like that with my beta, Anna Enfolding, with the last part of the big WIP, or WIP, however you pronounce that in English.
But it varies from person to person.
Yeah. So I sent her the thing, like, the, you know, the part, and she was like, I'm not on board with your voice for this character. This is just not how I see her. And this was the first time that we actually had this kind of disagreement, if you will, and it was super interesting because it forced me to go back to the text and say, well, I stand by my characterization and this is why, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then she was like, oh, well, this is why I don't think it works, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then, you know, it's like, it made me think about it, even if I I'm not necessarily going to change it. Sorry, Anna. but I really, really appreciated having another opinion on it, because a lot of the time, and even when you ask people for beta in Potfic, you get, oh, yeah, this is fine. And it's like, this is great, because some people, that's what they want. When they send you a file and they just want to post and they just want to have someone reassure them that they can post. And that's, I mean, I totally understand that, and I've done it before. But I appreciate having someone just tell me, you know, this is good and this is not so good. It doesn't work for me, and this is not how I would have done it.
I'm actually a horrible beta, because my opinion or my thoughts are, if they have to start over again, I'm not going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to another point that I should have mentioned earlier, but it just occurred to me now. This isn't the first time I've talked about this idea. And actually, the first time I brought it up was at the Podfic party that happened in August, late August, early September. And there was a bunch of Podficers there. Bessie Boo, Heard the Owl, Jenna Pod, KLB, myself, and Rena. Those were the six of us there. And we talked about it, I brought it up a lot that weekend. And one of the things that that kept coming back was that people, especially Concrit after the fact that wasn't a beta, is that the opinion was well, I'm not going to change it, so what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one of the things that's hard about Podfic. Even things that could, it's really hard to come up with, SPAG equivalents, SPAG being spelling and grammar, in fic for Podfic, because, oh, you mispronounced that word is not the same as, oh, there's a typo, or, mm-hmm. oh, you misspelled that word, because I can't go in and just edit that word. It generally doesn't sound right. Generally, I have to edit at least 10 minutes worth to make it sound natural. Sometimes the entire section. And let's face it, that can be the entire Podfic sometimes, that for one misspoken word, I have to start again.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, I'll admit, I'm lazy. I will just put it out there and be like, yeah, by the way, I don't know how to say invalid. That's one that I've messed up in the past. I said invalid instead. Different words. Mm-hmm. But because it's so much harder to go back and change.
Mm-hmm.
Even with a fic, if you get oh, this characterization seems off, maybe you can add in a phrase that'll make it better, where you could change, shift one scene around a little. But if someone comes in and says, your character voice doesn't sound right, you're probably going to have to scrap it and start over.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
really intimidating to people. They're like, look, I already put 10 hours into making this 30-minute podfic. You want me to start all over again? God, I can't. And that can be something that's really hard to deal with. I don't have a beta. Mm-hmm. I generally don't send my things off to be betaed. Although I do have Ink Junket betaing one for me right now. So I guess I can't say I don't have a beta. But it's not my usual MO. I don't normally send. I'll listen to it and I'll just be like, done, post it. Because I know I'm lazy and I don't want to go back and fix it. But that's kind of one of the reasons why I like criticism after the fact, because it's like, well, it's posted. I'm not going to change it. But I can learn for next time.
Exactly.
That's actually more useful to me. I want to know going into something what I can do to make it, better, which I'm not going to get. I don't want it after the fact for that project, after the fact for a future project.
Yeah.
That's where it's useful for me. So, and some people just don't have that mindset. If they know that there's a mistake or something wrong with what they do, they can't live with it. That's why people take down their works after they've put it out there, even if it's super popular. Sometimes, especially if it's super popular, they'll be like, oh, I just can't handle so many people loving something that I think is crap. And they take it down. So, I mean, I guess that mindset exists. And that's something that I wanted to acknowledge, but I also wanted to be like, sometimes that's preferable because I'm lazy.
Mm.
And I guess the last point that I kind of had on the list that we were doing, that we've kind of been incorporating as we go, But how do we think this affects newbies? Like, and getting new people into the fandom? Both how things are now and potentially how things could be if there was less of an air of everything has to be positive all the time. And Danielle is our resident newbie.
Hi.
Let's throw this one at you.
I don't really know. I don't think that you can kind of reel people in to podfic the way you can with fanfic because it's hard. Like, I mean, anybody can just open a Word document and start typing, but you can't just open Audacity on your computer and then be like, all right, I'm just going to record some words and then post them on the internet. You have to figure out how to edit and where am I going to post this and what is a media fire and how do I make something stream? And it's just more complicated.
Vidding's like that too. And I wouldn't say that fic is necessarily easier. Mm-hmm. It's just that we've been given those tools in like,
yeah.
Most of us growing up had to take a language class. And you had to learn creative writing. You had to learn, like, proper sentence structure. So all those tools were given to you in, like, grade 3. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, most schools don't give you advanced video and audio editing.
Yeah.
So it's not that one's necessarily easier than the other. It's just that we've been prepared for one, whereas you have to go out and start from scratch for the other.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, it is something that... I know there's lots of technical limitations and whatnot, but kind of the atmosphere that we have. Like, I know you mentioned that you found us kind of cliquish.
Yeah.
And I can't deny that, because if the minute that you say that you're interested, there's always going to be people being like, yay, you're awesome! It's like, you know, there's nothing we like more than podfic and podficers, so you already have two things that we love about you.
Mm.
Once you can approach us, I would like to think that we're great. there's always going to be that step of like, oh my God, I have to approach these people.
Something we both agreed on was this idea of, and you talked about it earlier, when, you know, people started talking and writing meta about podfic, it kind of all came out, and maybe not in the most thoughtful or considerate way, and then potfickers came down on that and said, listen, you know, this is not acceptable. So the pendulum swung the other way towards producer first. You know what I mean? Like, people mm-hmm. were saying, and I think it's in Ginger's meta from that time when she says, the listener has all the power, and the listener has the power to say, I like this, I don't like this, make it more this way. And then the pendulum swung the other way so that the producer had the power in a way to say, and even to say to other producers, this is how we do things. You can't say this. You can't say this. Or, you know, if you say this, then you will make people uncomfortable or things like that. And really what we're agreeing on here is that we would like the pendulum to come back somewhere in the middle so that both producers and listeners would have a way to express their personal opinions.
Yeah.
And I think mm-hmm. one of the things that's really important is, and that we touched on earlier as well, this idea that you can talk about potfic without talking about bodies.
And that's something that I would really like to talk about a bit more, because people have explained to me why they feel talking about potfic is talking about their bodies. And intellectually, I can understand it, but it's not something I've ever felt. You know, and I've had people come out and say straight out that, like, I have an annoying voice. And I was just kind of like, you're a jerk, and moved on. But I didn't feel it was, like, an attack on my body.
Mm. But, like, I can totally understand that if someone says, you know, I don't like your voice, then it's, like, it's not something that you can do anything about. It's super negative. It's not constructive at all. And you can, and it's probably going to bring you down. And I totally respect that. But potfic is not an instinctual spew of your own essence.
It's true.
As much as, like, I don't necessarily, like, for most of my potfic, I don't sit down and think, okay, what is going to be my interpretation? What am I going to do about this moment? What am I going to do about this character? What do I want to say in this scene? Like, sometimes I do it, but I don't necessarily do it. But even if you don't do that consciously, you're still making those choices that are about how you interpret the story, how you express it, how you want one character to sound, where you take your breath. These things are not your body. They're a thing that you do. They're not a thing that you are. And therefore, for me, like in my opinion, if you're discussing someone's performance, you can't separate their identity or their body and the thing that they did. You know what I mean?
Totally, because like when it comes down to it, what we do is voice acting. Mm-hmm. And you can criticize acting. You can talk about the various things about acting that doesn't have to do with their body. And in fact, like, you could even say that voice acting has even less body consciousness than physical acting, because you don't, your yeah. facial expressions, the tilt of your body, the shapes and fluidity of your movements aren't coming into play, unless we start adding video, in which case you could all see my arms flailing as I read. No one wants to see that. But, like, and I'm not saying that it's removing all physicality, because clearly that's not true. There is your voice, and we touched on a bit of, like, your personal identity built into your accent and the way that you speak, even like things like cadence and whatever are going to be regional things and built into who you are. But that doesn't mean you can't make conscious choices mm-hmm. that work with them or sometimes against them. Move forward with that. You can make choices about how you're going to read someone. Like, if I'm reading Teal'c from SGA, I'm not going to slur my words, or not SGA, SG1. I don't know if you guys watch him, but he's like an alien, and everything he says is very precise. So I'm going to try and imitate that when I'm speaking about him. Or, like, if I'm reading Styles from Teen Wolf, I'm going to read faster than I naturally would, just so that it makes it a little clearer who it is that I'm speaking as. And it's not always as clear-cut for each person that you're acting, and some of the choices aren't going to be, like, that's very basic things on just how you portray someone. But, like, how you choose to portray certain emotions, it is acting. You don't have to be putting yourself on the line. Mm-hmm. You don't have to put yourself and your experiences on the line. You're supposed to be pretending to be someone else. So we pretend to be things all the time in podfic. That not everything has to come back to us.
Yeah. I think it might be different if, and maybe there are out there people who only read their id fic, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The thing that really, really speaks to who they are or how they feel, and then they do it from a place of great authenticity or whatever. So it's really, they feel like it's them in that potfic entirely, every word and every breath and every whatever.
Yeah.
And I understand how in that sense, if someone comes and criticizes that, it would be more painful. But at the same time, like, I don't know.
At the same time, again, when I talk about, just as a reminder, because I know you know this, but when we're talking about criticism, we're not necessarily saying it to have it directed at specific people.
No, we just
want these discussions to happen. So, you know, if you have very specific ideas of what you want to make, you don't have to go out and read them. Same with fic. There's tons of discussions, like, so much meta all over the place about, like, this is how I interpret this character. And you can choose to read those things and be part of the discussion of fanon that gets built up around a certain canon. Or you can, like, there are also people that are like, no, this is based entirely on my own interpretation of canon, and it doesn't even resemble the rest of fanon. And that still happens these days in written fandom. I can totally see that happening in podfic fandom if we let it.
Mm-hmm.
Where you might get some people being like, this is the way that you present angst or anger or whatever. And then you've got other people that are like, no, this is what I sound like, what I make, great. And I'm going to assume that, you know, Gerard Way sounds that way too.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those can coexist. But, you know, for the people that do want, I've at times struggled with, I feel less so now, But there was a time where I felt really insecure about how flat I felt I read things. I felt I didn't put very much emotion into what I read, and everything came across kind of as a monotone.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't based on what anyone had ever told me. It was just mm-hmm. something that I thought of myself. So I
yeah.
could be, like, personal bias in there. I could be completely wrong. I could not be better like I think I am. Whatever. But that was something that was worrying me, and, like, I was trying to, like, I got drunk and recorded Podfix so that I could get more emotion in there.
Wow.
That was also partly just, I didn't become an alcoholic for Podfix, I promise. but, like, you know, I was doing some rather extreme things of, like, how can I make myself sound more animated? And, you know, it would have been easier to just be like, here's the meta, let's go read it. Maybe I will practice in the shower. Like, you know, that would have been a resource that I so would have appreciated that just didn't exist. And I would love, you know, further discussions about voices. Like, in Bandom, when you talk voices, I think everyone thinks of Argenta Lupin, who does some crazy voices, where she'll have, like, you know, 12 unique voices, sometimes more, in a single podfic. And it's pretty amazing. But, you know, maybe other people would like to try that. Maybe there's things that people want to say about that. That, you know, she said some great things about it. Like, I found it really interesting when she posted Welcome to the Black Parade or whatever that's...
Rise and Fall of the Black Parade.
That's it. But, like, she did a little reel of, like, here's a sampler of a bunch of the voices that I did. And that was super interesting for me. And I would love to hear about, like, you know, how she chooses her voices. And I think that's maybe something that would be accepted in this environment. But I don't know. I think it might be cool to get into a debate over it. Over, like, oh, well, if I were to do it, maybe I would do it this way. Or, like, whatever. Just have other people have more than one example. Because she's, like, the only example I can think of. Mm-hmm. And she does it beautifully. But, you know, more examples are great. One thing that I would like to talk about that I'm kind of excited about, there's only one episode as of this recording, but I'm pretty excited about Resonance, the Podfic podcast that Revolutionary Jelen was
on. Oh, I haven't been able to listen to that yet.
I'm excited about it because they're kind of doing exactly what I would like to see more of.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not being critical, but they're just getting out there and they're like, here's a podfic that I like, let's talk about why I like it. And they're getting into a bit more of the meat of it. And I think that's a good step towards, like, this idea that I have of that I would like us to get to of, like, let's get into these detailed discussions about it.
Yeah.
And Larekha gets some of that out too. And, like, Fire Juggler's amazing at that. Like, I'm in awe of her wrecking skills.
And but, Ink Junket made that Doctor Who. She made, like, someone, I think it was her, made this podcast of Doctor Who crossover recs, including, like, extracts of every one of them. And, like, I listened, I have to admit, I only listened originally because she said she wrecked one of my podfics. And I actually listened to the whole thing. I was so happy listening to that stuff, even though I don't know Doctor Who, and I'd never listened to Doctor Who podfic, so I had no idea what she was talking about. But it made me so happy to, you know, just listen to her rec stuff and say, you know, this is why I like it, and listen to it, and, like, the way she does this is amazing. And
Resonance does that too, where they'll be like, and they'll talk about it, and they'll be like, when they do this, and then they'll splice in a little clip of the podfic, and then you could hear it, and they'll be like, oh, the way they delivered that line was so perfect for me. And I like that when we're getting into the really, like, we're getting into specifics.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I really enjoy it. And one thing that also that I personally really love is Lynchy, first off, was like, look, I can't talk about the podfic without talking about the story. Because that can be a hot button topic where people are like, ugh, they didn't say anything about my podfic, they just talked about the story. But like I said earlier, I can't divorce the two. They are entwined. Well, I can talk about them separately, but it's not really going to cover the... Like, I can talk about the acting and I can talk about the story, but that's not really talking about the podfic. Because the podfic is the two.
Yeah. Like, I understand people who get frustrated if that's the only thing that you get. Like, if the only feedback that you get on your podfic is, I love this story, it doesn't... Like, it's not praise for you.
It's not praise for your acting. It's praise for your wrecking skills, though.
Yeah, and it's praise for your, like, the fact that you did it, because presumably they listened to the potfic, otherwise they wouldn't be commenting there. But it's like, it's a general, I'm happy you did this, thank you.
Yeah.
But...
You have good taste that coincide with mine.
Or, you know, just like, I enjoyed your reading of this story because I love this story.
I mean, I totally get it, but I think sometimes what people mean and what people hear are different things. So people are like, ugh, I wish they wouldn't only talk about this story, is what people are saying. And other people are hearing, God, you're not allowed to talk about this story.
Yeah.
And I think because we are so politically correct isn't even the word. We just tiptoe around each other a lot because we know that pod figures can get offended easily. And I say that as someone who's often the first person to get offended.
Well, and you know, sometimes and a lot of the time for good reason, but not always.
Sometimes we bring about too much baggage.
Yeah.
And or because people are so aware that we carry around this baggage, people are just not willing to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, eh, it's easier to keep quiet.
Yeah. And another thing that I, it was just about the, like, why, as a listener, you can get intense feelings about potfic that might not come the right way, like, come out the right way. The idea that with potfic, what you get is a product, in a way, that's often something that you know you love the story already. Like, I used to only listen to potfic of stories that I already loved. I don't do that anymore, but that's how I functioned as a listener. And so because of the process involved in listening to the potfic, so it's like find the potfic, download it, it takes some time, upload it somewhere. Maybe, you know, I used to listen on public transport, so wait several days, wait until you're in the right place and you have the right amount of time to listen, etc. And then you open the file and you find that this potficker has made choices or has a style that you don't enjoy. And it's like your frustration is compounded by how much work it took you to get to that point where you find out that you actually don't enjoy the story.
Or you don't enjoy the potfic.
The potfic, yeah, sorry.
Because you know you enjoy the story.
Exactly. It's like, and because there's this idea that there's only going to be one, you know what I mean? Like, it's changing a little bit now.
Even though replotting is more acceptable,
but it wasn't,
it's still
like,
a lot of work.
It
just doesn't happen that often. We haven't hit a pinnacle where most podfickers have a 2-podfic list a mile long. It's easier just to move on to the next.
Exactly.
So practically,
as a listener, then you know that there's this podfic out there of a story you adore and you can't listen to it. And that kind of gets, like, I talk from experience, as you might hear from my voice, it's super annoying. It's like, and it can be really easy to start ranting about, you know, I just wish this person had done this, and then I would be able to enjoy this podfic of the story that I love.
The other side of that is, I love this podficker. I don't like their fic choice. Where it's like, Diane McKay in American Idol fandom recorded a lot of podfic. And, you know, I was listening exclusively to American Idol podfic, but unfortunately a lot of the fic that she chose squicked me. Like, they just hit my squicks, and I couldn't listen to them, and I was like, there's new podfic, and I just physically can't listen to it. This upsets me.
Yeah.
And, like, I never said anything, because, like, I would never... I know what it's like, you podfic what you like, and I'm not going to try and influence that. But it's also upsetting when it's like, you're making something close to what I want, but it's not what I want.
Exactly.
You can't help but feel entitled as a consumer.
Yeah. And so, not that I'm saying that we are right to, like, come out and bitch about, you know.
It's entitlement. Something that you...
It's just that, it exists. It happens.
It's a gut reaction. You can't help it.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's why, in a way, criticism in potfic can feel so violent to potficers when you find, you know, if you're vanity Googling yourself and you find someone going, oh my God, why did she have to record the story? Like, I hate this, whatever. It's not necessarily...
Or they're like, they ruined the story. Exactly. And you're like, that's the last thing I want as a podficker.
Totally. But it's not, like, I feel like it's not necessarily about you. It's about that person's frustration that was largely circumstantial. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's something that you have to deal with, and it's not fun.
No.
But because two sides to it, there's the story and the acting that get combined into a single podfic, it's kind of like, you know, if you're reading fic or watching vids or whatever, you're like, I just don't like this. You're okay with skipping it.
Yeah.
But in this case, you're like, I know I like half of it. It's like when you find, like, a fic that has every single kink that you have.
It's badly written.
And it's badly written. You feel betrayed, and it's like, why? I really wanted the MPEG BDSM kitten fic, and it exists, and I can't read it.
Exactly.
Or, like, whatever. That's what podfic can be more often. And, yeah, there is that extra amount of work that can make it seem, for, when you have to download it, and people not only download it, like, you have to put the effort into downloading it, a lot of people change the metadata to fit their system, since they have their own organizational system.
Mm-hmm.
I know at least two people that will not listen to something that doesn't have cover art. So if the pod figure didn't include cover art, they will make their own before they even listen to it sometimes. And so you go and do, and then you upload it to your device, you sit on it, it's the one podfic that you were planning to listen to today, and then you get into it, it's like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's a lot more disappointing.
It is. Another point that I wanted to that I mentioned in the email and I wanted to mention here was that my pie in the sky kind of, like, I have two goals or two wishes or two, you know, like, if the world ran according to my wishes, this is what I want. The first is, really, I want to come to a place where I can tell someone, listen, I like you, I like talking to you, I love, you know, talking about meta with you, and but I don't enjoy the potfic that you produce. And for that to be okay.
But I often feel super guilty because I know so many podfickers. And most of them I haven't listened to. For the most part, like, I know all these people, and I can talk to them daily sometimes when I'm more active than I am lately. And I can love them and then not actually even know what they sound like because I don't listen to their stuff. And I feel guilty about that because, like, I'm encouraging all the time to do more, and we talk about it all the time, and I haven't actually listened to their stuff. And I feel guilt about it, but... like, I'm super monofanish.
Yeah.
If you create in my fandom, I'm never going to listen to it. You could be, like, you could make the most beautiful piece of, like, Shakespearean art-level acting, and I'm just not going to listen to it if it's not my OTP. I'm shallow like that.
I'm the same.
I think a lot of people accept that, but it can also be really awkward when it's, like, you're a great friend, but I don't, like, I've listened to your stuff and I don't like it. Like,
exactly, yeah. Yeah. But, like, you know, it's come to the point when I don't tell people I download the stuff so that in case I don't like it, I can pretend I didn't hear it.
And it's horrible when we get into these, like, little white lies.
Like, exactly, like this. Like,
give ourselves an out instead of being honest.
I know, it's like, that's what, you know, that's why I was interested in doing this thing, podcasting, that we've been doing, because I feel like the other side of the coin from the, you know, a public positive friendliness and openness and encouragement is that we all have, like, let's face it, except for maybe, I know Fire Juggler posted a super heartwarming meta about how, like, she loves the imperfections in things, and I'm not like that, and you know, it doesn't work for me, and I don't think, like, I think at least many of us are not like that. And the whole enforced positivity thing means that on the other side, we're bitching in private.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that's healthy in the long run.
It's not. You, like I said, I've done a lot of traveling this past year to visit podfickers, and most of the time it's great fun, but like some of the bitchiness that comes out when it's like you're sitting on someone's couch, and yeah. I totally joined in, I admit. Like, it can be a little, like, harsher than it should be. Because
it's like it's the delight of finally saying something you've been sitting on for so long.
Yeah. And saying it to people that will understand, like,
this is a very selfish wish, really. It's like, I would feel so much better if I didn't have to pretend that I like or that I haven't heard the work of people that I want to be friends with in the fandom but don't enjoy the work of.
Well, it adds some anxiety to any potential friendships that you have. And because, like, we're all friends, we're all pretty close, and all we talk about is podfic, it does seem like there's more of an obligation to listen to each other.
Mm.
And I certainly, if I'm being honest, I'm actually generally surprised when I find out people listen to my podfic. Because I know I'm well-known in podfic fandom, but I never assume it's because of what I make. I never assume it's because of the podfic that I make. I always assume it's because of the things that I run and the conversations that I have and the things mm-hmm. that I make, but not the podfic specifically. So, like, when there was the love meme that you hosted, and there were people that are like, oh, I love your podfic, I was like, oh, yeah, I make those. And people probably listen to them. So, like, I don't have that expectation, but I'm sure other people do.
Mm.
Or at least there's this mindset that there is an expectation, whether or not there is or not.
Yeah. That's the thing also, it's like, because I know that I do this, you know, kind of, oh, I haven't heard your stuff, as a sort of defense mechanism, almost. Mm. I always kind of feel like people do that to me, too, so that when I don't hear from someone, I kind of assume it's because they listened and didn't like it and won't tell me. Whereas,
yeah.
And you know, if we were able to tell each other, your style is not the style that I prefer, and I would totally, like, I would be, because it's never happened to me, but I would be okay with that. And then I would be able to trust that the people who actually don't say anything, it's really that they haven't listened, rather than they hated it, but they secretly hated it. Yeah, these insecurities are kind of fostered or fanned by the fact that we don't feel like we can talk about anything negative. Therefore, we, like, anything that's not talked about, we assume that it's because it was negative.
When you have to tippy-toe around everything, you assume everyone else is as well.
Yeah.
I want to wrap it up.
As a concluding statement.
Mostly I would just like for these conversations to be able to exist for those that want it.
Yeah.
Like right now, just the mindset that we have of everything having to be positive, positive, positive is preventing those who want to say these things and those that want to hear it from being able to do so.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I've actually been meaning more than once to point this out. On Podfic Meta, there is a post. Are you okay with people betting in possibly not 100% positive ways? And you could put your name on it. And so you are basically volunteering your works to be used as examples when we're having meta conversations. If that list could actually be used, I think that would be really useful to be like, okay, I want to talk about different acting styles, or I want to talk about phenomenon X versus Y. Here are some examples. I can talk about the pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
And know that the creators are down with it. Puts you in a situation where if your toes get stepped on, you knew that they were in the way. Or
yeah, you put them there.
I think that might be a jump-off point if we want to have these discussions.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think, like, maybe the thing that I want to say to finish is that we were talking about the pendulum swinging back, and I think really, I'm going to sound kind of Buddhist here, but it's about finding the middle road. And Maybe it's something that gets achieved by making the conversations happen, and maybe it's something that will come naturally as more potfickers come in and more people start doing different things, and just time, you know, time does its work, and the greater fandom starts understanding potfic, or at least being more indifferent to it in a kind of, you know, live and let live kind of way. But I think that when those conversations happen, it doesn't have to be like, let's let anyone like insult our precious identities, you know. It can be like, we can still talk about potfic while coming down on people who shame bodies if that happens. I think that's a thing that can be done. And I also think you can find a middle road between prescriptivism and the kind of intense relativism that we have going right now. Because if you're saying that everything is always great, that means that nothing is ever great, in a way.
Yeah. Everything's going to be mediocre, because the definition of mediocre is, like, average.
Yeah.
Smoothing out the... Like, when you get rid of the bads, you also get rid of the greats.
Exactly.
Again, for subjective definitions of bads and greats.
Of course, of course. And then, I mean, and then when those conversations happen, I will probably bitch the first time I come across a post that says, you know, I listened to Greedy Dancer stuff and this worked for me and this really didn't. And I'm probably going to bitch about it, but then it's my personal opinion and I have a right to my personal opinion, and the other person has a right to their personal opinion. And I think that should be okay.
And just because you have a negative reaction initially doesn't mean that's going to remain your reaction to it. Like, when someone comes out and says something against your work, it's reflective to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just have to sit back and think about what's being said, and maybe your first response will be, no, you're wrong. But if it can be said, and you can move beyond the no, you're wrong, and actually listen to what's being said, you can learn and get better for it. And it can lead to some uncomfortable situations, even some ugly situations. But, I mean, I think that's part of how you grow.
But I don't even necessarily mean that you have to learn and grow. If you don't want to change anything about what you're doing, then it's fine. But you should, like, I feel like saying...
Potfic fandom, like anything else in the world, you have to decide what it is that you want from it and take steps to make sure that you set up a safe space for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be people that do Google searches of themselves and check to see what everyone's saying about themselves. And if you're willing to do that, you have to be willing to hear bad things about yourself.
Yeah.
If you're someone who's not willing to hear bad things about yourself, don't Google yourself. Like, we always tell, like, our celebrities, don't Google yourself. You just have to take that on. You have to create an environment that you're going to be happy with.
Yeah.
But you have to be that change. You can't force other people to make it for you.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, it's like we produce things. We make things. And we're always talking about how what we do is transformative and it's a performance and we're adding something. So we have to accept that the thing that we're adding maybe some people don't like.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And that's fine. And, you know, we're always talking about we don't make potfic for the people who don't like potfic. We make potfic for potfic fans. And maybe we need to see it as we make potfic for fans of our potfic and not fans of other styles of potfic.
Yeah. And I think fandoms always had, like, a bit of a weird place because we're creating things, and we can be really, especially fanfic and fandom, it's based on other creative works. And we can be super critical to those other creative works. But the minute you try and apply any of that to our works, a lot of us are like, no, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's something like, oh, because the creators of the works that we're criticizing get paid for it, they should have to deal with all this shit. Whereas we're doing it for fun, so no shit allowed. And it's a little hypocritical, but it's understandable. I don't know, it's not realistic to expect that we'll get nothing but adoration.
Yeah, and I think those attitudes might have been sustainable when potfic was such a small thing, and this idea was that if you put something out, everyone would listen to it, and everyone in return would know that it was such a rare gift that they were given that you couldn't really say, you know, like you can't say anything negative. But as potfic is growing, potfic fandom is growing, and more potfic is being made, and more and more new people are coming in, that's not true anymore. People can start at least picking the stuff that they like and the stuff that they don't like and the stuff that they prefer over other stuff.
I mean, looking at it completely as like from a consumerist level, which we tend not to like to do in fandom, but like supply and demand. Originally, when there was no supply, you weren't allowed to make demands.
Mm-hmm.
But now that there's more people making it, which is a good thing, pod figures have quote unquote competition.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's good because it pushes you to do things that you might not have pushed yourself to do before. Other times it stresses people out and they end up leaving. Like, it's always a hit and miss. And for some people, like, people are going to react differently. But the end result is, like, do you really want people listening to your podfic because they have to?
Mm-hmm.
If they dislike your performance and your choices and your voice, even your accent, like things that you don't want to change, things that you can't change. Do you really want them listening to it and feeling like that kind of entitled anger that, you know, they're not really entitled, like the entitlement anger, I think is what I meant, towards your work and feeling like kind of half angry at it because they had no other choice?
Yeah.
Like, do you really want people listening to your podfic because they have to, not because they like it? For some people, that might be that they stop creating. Other people, they might change how they create. Other people will be like, okay, I'm okay with the few people that do like it listening to it. Having more options out there, I don't think is a bad thing. Like, if you were in a fandom and you had to read every single fic in that fandom, wouldn't you want to cry? There's a, like, it doesn't matter how big or small your fandom is. There's going to be shitty fanfic in it. Shitty by definition, and you want to be able to pick and choose. That makes it a better fanish experience for you.
Yeah,
and I think, like, I don't think podfic is ever going to get to the level, like, the quantities that fic has, just for logistical reasons. But if you're a fic writer, you don't expect everyone in the fandom to read your fic. So it's a little ridiculous if you kind of expect everyone in the fandom to listen to your podfic. For every podfic listener in your fandom to listen to your podfic. And worse, if you expect everyone to enjoy it. Like, that's just not realistic.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.